بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. We continue reading the subject which we started yesterday, that is, what is kufr, the meaning of kufr, and all those things which will make a person become a kafir and expel him from the fold of Islam. Many examples were given. We continue reading number 21 here. One who jests or mocks at any teaching of Islam. Number 22, one who makes unlawful the lawful acts of Islam or vice versa. For example, he legalizes interest, etc. No matter how major a sin is, as long as one regards it to be evil, he will not lose his iman. However, by committing the sin, one's iman will be weakened. Number 22, one who finds fault with any belief, act, practice, or teaching of Islam. Number 23, one who regards anything of the disbelievers to be superior to that which is ordered by Islam. Number 24, one who perpetrates an unlawful act, regarding it to be lawful. For example, he commits adultery, regarding it to be as lawful. Number 25, one who believes in the unification of all existing religions, claiming that the various religions existing today are all true and all of them lead to Allah Ta'ala. Number 26, one who claims that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, or any other Sahabi is a non-believer, or he vilifies or rebukes them. One will not become a non-believer if he says that Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu is more virtuous than the other Sahaba. However, to say so is an act of bid'ah, innovation. Number 27, one who destroys a masjid intentionally or dishonors it, or if he kills an alim to dishonor him. Number 28, one who perpetrates an act which is a specific sign or feature of kufr. For example, wearing a cross, standing with reverence in front of an idol or photograph of an animate object, a saint, etc., and regards it as a reward. If he regards it as a sin, he will not become a non-believer. Number 29, one who intends to become a disbeliever. For example, he says, next month I will become a Christian. This person will become a disbeliever immediately. Such a person becomes a disbeliever immediately. Number 30, one who asks someone regarding matters of the unseen and believes it. However, the Anbiya alayhi salam can be informed of certain matters through wahi, that is revelation, and the awliya through kashf, manifestations, and ilham, which means inspiration, and the general message by means of signs. So these were the 30 examples given here, whereby if a person does any of these things, he will become a kafir. Further, kufr is of four types. One is kufr jahl, that is, Islam and its teachings are denied because of ignorance. This was the type of kufr of Abu Jahl. The second type is kufr juhud, which means deliberate kufr due to obstinacy. This was the type of kufr of shaitan, as well as that of many Jews and Christians. The third type of kufr is called kufr shak, which means kufr occasioned by doubt. The denier doubts the truthfulness of Islam. And the fourth type of kufr is what we call kufr ta'wil. A belief or teaching of Islam is distorted or given a meaning other than that explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A few examples of kufr ta'wil are as follows. For example, the miracles of the Anbiya are given figurative meanings. Or the next example, Mi'raj is interpreted to be a spiritual condition. Whereas it is our aqidah that Mi'raj of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a physical condition while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was awake. Another example, Jannat and Jahannam are said to be spiritual states. Or the next example, the finality of Nabuwat is rejected by ways of interpretation. or metaphoric meanings are attributed to the angels and jinn, or punishment of the grave is denied by interpretation. Or another example, the claim that wudu was introduced for rural Arabs, and it is not necessary for so-called clean people to be in a state of wudu when performing salat. These are all examples of kufr ta'wil. And another example given here, that different meanings are tended for salat, zakat, jihad, etc., which are not the meanings understood by the ummah for the past 1400 years. Note, a person will not become a non-believer if he unintentionally utters words of kufr. And note number two, it is a major sin to curse someone or to address him as O kafir, O disbeliever. It is, however, permissible to make a general statement. For example, may the oppressors be cursed, or may the liars be cursed. There is no sin to refer to those individuals who have been cursed by Allah Ta'ala or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or whose disbelief they have informed us of as, O cursed one, or O kafir. So such people, if they are cursed, then there is nothing wrong. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 23rd para was recited. The 23rd para is a continuation of Surah Yasin, which commenced at the end of the 22nd para. Surah Yasin is a Makki surah, and concerning the surah, there are many significance mentioned about reciting Surah Yasin. In a hadith it comes, the one who recites Surah Yasin solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the year after will be forgiven. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentioned that this surah should be recited over your dead, referring to those who are in the throes of death, through which the pangs of death will be eased, and also after a person had passed away, to recite Surah Yasin for isale thawab purposes, etc. This surah has been given other names also. For example, this is called Mudafi'ah also. It is a surah which the effect of it is that it repels many misfortunes and calamities. It is also called Qadiyah, which means the fulfiller of needs of a person. So this surah, the recitation of it is very effective when it comes to fulfilling one's needs and wants. So a person should make it a habit that he recites Surah Yasin daily. This surah has also been called Qalbul Qur'an, that is the heart of the Qur'an Majeed. The ulama, in explaining why the surah has been called Qalbul Qur'an, is that in the surah, one of the main founding principles of deen have been mentioned in quite detail, that is the aqidah of the akhirah, of the year after, and life after death. Just as a body, the soundness of a body depends on the soundness of the heart. If a person's heart is not functioning properly, then his body is also not right. Similarly, the soundness of a person's iman depends on the soundness of the belief of the year after. Without proper belief of the year after, a person's iman can never be sound. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the surah with the words Yasin. The meaning of it, Allah Ta'ala knows best what is the meaning, although many scholars have given some possibilities that perhaps it is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some have mentioned that perhaps it might be one of the names of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For this reason, the ulama explain that if a person has his name kept as Yasin, then it will be alright, although many ulama, they say it is not appropriate to keep somebody's name Yasin, but if it is kept Yasin, then his name will not be written how Yasin is written in the Quran Majeed. Because perhaps it is not a name, it is one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or something which Allah ta'ala knows the meaning of best. So then the name of Yasin will not be written as it is written here. But it will be written in full, Ya, Alif, Sin, Ya, and Nun. Like that, not just Ya and Sin as it is written in the Quran and Majid. Allah then takes the oath of the Quran and Majid, and on that Allah Ta'ala declares the Nabuwat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala then mentions the purpose of the revelation of the Quran and Majid. Then Allah Ta'ala says, we have revealed this Quran and Majid to you, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that you warn a nation whose forefathers were not known, because of which they are in a state of deep negligence. So, since the first recipients and addresses of the Qur'an and Majid were the Arab nation, and prior to the coming of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and being sent as a Nabi, centuries had passed where no Nabi had come to them. Although, we will say that warners had come to them over time, because Allah Ta'ala elsewhere in the Qur'an and Majid mentions that we did not send to that every nation and every community, we send warners towards them. Anyway, many centuries had passed with the result that the Arabs were in a state of deep darkness, in this, of kufr and shirk and all other evils and vices. Allah Ta'ala says, we send the Quran and Majid to you so that you can warn this nation. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be greatly distressed and in a state of grief, because many of the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, the polytheists and mushrikeen, they did not accept the message of Haqq. So Allah Ta'ala consoles Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ, that the word and decision of your Rabb has been determined over most of them, فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, that they are not going to accept Iman. So you do your duty of propagating the message of Haqq, but it is not in your capacity to ensure that each one accepts that message also. Therefore, do not be in a state of grief if they are not accepting the message of Haqq. Allah Ta'ala says further that it is equal whether you warn them or you don't warn them. They are not going to bring Iman. And then Allah Ta'ala gives an example, a similitude of their state of disbelief and obstinacy of accepting the Haqq. Allah Ta'ala says that the example is like the person on whose neck an iron collar has been placed, and it is reaching right up till his chin, with the result he can't even see down right in front of him. His head is now tilted upwards to the skies, and his gaze is only towards the sky. That person cannot see the road even in front of him. He can't see any obstacles which he to protect himself. So Allah Ta'ala says the example of these people is like that they have eyes but they cannot see the road of Haqq, because it is like this person whose eyes forcefully has been now fixed towards the sky. The second example Allah Ta'ala gives, he says, Allah Ta'ala says that we have placed barriers in front of them and behind them, and we have surrounded them from all sides, with the result that they cannot see. A person who is in such a condition, for example, a person in a prison cell, surrounded by four walls, high and tall walls, such a person can't see even half 1 meter outside or beyond those walls, because his sight has been now interfered with. Similarly is the case of these people. They can see the Haqq, but in reality they cannot take effect of that seeing, with the result that they are not accepting Islam. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we will revive the dead. Allah Ta'ala will bring everybody back to life on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah Ta'ala says that we record all those things which people do, which they sent forth. And also Allah Ta'ala says we record their trails, the effects of their actions. Those people who might have did good actions in this world and left behind good effects, where other people took good effect and they also followed the path, the righteous path, Allah Ta'ala will keep on crediting their account with the thawab, even though a person had passed away. The famous hadith, Man sanna sunnatan hasanatan, and on the contrary, Man sanna sunnatan sayyatan, a person who starts off an evil trend, and other people are influenced by that, and they continue doing that, the sin of it, besides those who are the sinners, but it will also fall unto the person who initiated that evil, and other people are following that. So on this we should be very careful, that we should only be from the first category and not from the second category, where we start off an evil and other people get influenced and start acting on that. The evil and sin of that will fall on us also. Further on in the second ruku, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of a disbelieving nation. Allah Ta'ala sent two two messengers towards them, but these people refused to accept them and belied them. And Allah Ta'ala says, we reinforce those two with a third with a third messenger. But these people then still remain obstinate on their denial and on their refusal to accept the message of Haqq. A person from the community, from staying in the on the corner of the city, he realizing that these messengers of Allah, these people are threatening them, so he came and explained to them that these people are such who are, don't ask you for any remuneration, and they are on the haqq, therefore do not interfere with them. And in this way he disclosed his own iman. With the result, the people attacked him and martyred him. Allah Ta'ala explains his condition, that after he had been killed, Allah Ta'ala entered him into Jannah, but there also he remained a well-wisher for his nation. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the mufassir of the Qur'an al-Majid, the first mufassir, he explained what a great man this was, whose name the commentators mention as Habib al-Najjar. That he was a well-wisher for his nation in his life also, and after he died also. Allah Ta'ala mentions his condition, that after he died, he still remembered his nation, and said, Ya layta qawmi ya'lamun, if only my nation knew, bima ghafara li, for what reasons Allah Ta'ala had forgiven me, and made me from the honored ones. So he remained a well-wisher for his, even after he passed away. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions that the same nation then was destroyed by a terrible shriek from the skies, which shattered their hearts, and they were completely destroyed. Further on, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, from the second ruku of the 23rd para, Allah Ta'ala then mentions many of his creations, which are a manifestation of the great qudrat and power of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and also indicating his existence, his oneness, and his great qudrat and knowledge also. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the dead earth and barren earth, which is revived through the rains, in which there is indication that Allah Ta'ala will also bring back to life all those who had died on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala will revive them. Allah Ta'ala speaks of the creation of the skies and the earth, the signs of Allah Ta'ala in the night and day, and in the sun and the moon and all the planets, and how they are all moving around in their own orbits. All these indicate the great qudrat of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Some of the absurd statements of the people of Kufr also mentioned here, that when they are told that spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala from what Allah Ta'ala had provided you with, they sarcastically say that should we feed those whom Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, if he willed, could have fed himself, not realizing that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the sustainer of every living creature on the surface of the earth. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the way Allah Ta'ala provides sustenance is through various ways and means. And sometimes Allah Ta'ala uses others to feed, uses some to feed others. From the third ruku onwards, the very terrifying scenes of the day of Qiyamah have been mentioned, how when the second blowing of the trumpet will take place, people will rise from their graves and they will hasten towards towards the court of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and then how reckoning will take place. There will be only two groups, either those of the mu'mineen or those of the disbelievers, and the announcement will be made, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ, that, O sinners, O wrongdoers, separate yourselves today from those who have brought iman. This will be the crucial announcement which will ultimately determine the fate of those, of everybody, either there is salvation for them or either there is destruction for them in the fire of Jahannam. It is mentioned concerning Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, that one night in his, one night continuously he just kept on reciting this verse, and he was weeping and crying when this verse, وَمْتَازُ الْيَوْمَ أَيُّهَا الْمُجْرِمُونَ. Why? Because of that realization that which group will I fall in when that crucial announcement will be made. May Allah Ta'ala make us all of those people whom Allah Ta'ala is happy with and who will be granted Jannat. Further on, Allah Ta'ala mentions further torment of those of the disbelievers who will deny, trying to save their skins on the day of Qiyamah. They will deny doing wrong. Allah Ta'ala says, we will place a seal on their mouths, and we will make their hands speak, and their feet will also testify against them of the evil which they used to perpetrate. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will use all the organs of the person's body itself to testify against him for the evil which he had did. The last ruku Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of his great qudrat and wisdom again. Allah ta'ala says that the person whom we give a long life to, we reverse him in creation. In other words, his condition now becomes completely reversed. Just and it returns back to that condition as he was when he was born and he, as an infant, how he was dependent on others around him for his well-being and sustaining. There, similarly will be a case or could be the case of a person who now reaches very old age and now we find that his strength, his beauty, his faculties all start diminishing and start withdrawing themselves. In this there is indication that all these great bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which we have been granted are all an amanat by Allah, from Allah ta'ala, that we get our strength as we grow up, then the beauty, and then slowly as a person ages, these things start decreasing and sometimes they are completely withdrawn from a person, where his now intellect also doesn't remain. Sometimes his eyesight or hearing is now completely affected. This is all the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should appreciate the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we have it with us, and because Allah ta'ala at his will can at any time withdraw these bounties or cause them to be diminished in any way. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the end of the surah then mentions these people who refuse to accept the aqidah of life after death, that after we die Allah ta'ala will resurrect us and bring us back to life. Allah ta'ala mentions that insan, don't you now remember your humble beginnings? You were just a drop of impure fluid, and suddenly you have become khasimun mubin. Now you have been made insan, you got your strength, and now you become an open adversity, and now you want to fight and quarrel even against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then an incident which occurred in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is then referred to, that a mushrik, he picked up an old bone and he rubbed it between his fingers. With the result, it completely fragmented into pieces. And then, sarcastically, he said, that may yukhil idhama wa hiya rameen. Who's going to put life back into these bones after they have become so decomposed? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in response to that, mentions, yuhyiha alladhi ansha'aha awwala marra. That being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will bring life back into it, who had put life into it in the first place. When Allah ta'ala put life into this in the first place, you were just a lifeless blood of drop of fluid, and Allah ta'ala gave life. What is difficult for Allah ta'ala to now bring, recreate and bring, put life back into something which Allah ta'ala had already created? By way of example, Allah ta'ala also mentions that even that tree which is still green, and there's a particular type of tree amongst the Arabs that although it is green, but the twigs of it, when rubbed together, flames can come out and fire can come out. Allah ta'ala mentions how from a fresh and green branch of a tree, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qudrat is there, that Allah ta'ala can create fire in there. So all these indicate the great qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, for us nothing is difficult. We just have to now will about anything, and we have to just say kun, and that thing comes into existence. Ulama explained that even kun is not necessary for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say. Kun means the imperative, which means become. Allah ta'ala is not in need to say that also. Just the irada and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for something to come into existence. So this was a brief summary of the contents and subject matter of Surah Yasin. The next surahs, all the surahs remain, which are recited last night, were also all Makki surahs. And as explained so many times, in the Makki surahs, those surahs revealed before Hijrat, all the mainly the fundamentals of deen have been emphasized. In Surah Saffat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes the aqidah of Tawheed and also refutes many of the wrong beliefs which were amongst the mushrikeen. And one of those wrong beliefs was that the angels are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'udhu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then takes qasam in the first few verses of some of the attributes of the angels and then declares, inna ilahakum lawahid, that your Allah, that your deity is only one Allah. Allah ta'ala has no partners, Allah ta'ala has no offspring whatsoever. The first ruku then makes mention of Allah ta'ala's great qudrats again in his creation and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had secured the skies from any type of interference from the jinnat, etc. Prior to the advent of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the jinnat had access to the skies where they used to go and eavesdrop and hear what the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being issued. And with that, mix many of their lies and then convey to the fortune tellers and all other, those types of people. But after the advent of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we say, security had been beefed, had been now improved, and in this, and jinnat's access to the skies also no more remained. Those who attempt to go for, to go up to eavesdrop, Allah Ta'ala says that our way of security is that he is now repelled with a blazing star, which we now know as shooting stars. In reality, the shayateen are being repelled by those stars which take on the form of blazing stars. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of the scenes of the day of Qiyamah, those people who will be sent and dispatched to Jahannam, how they will quarrel and argue and speak amongst themselves and try to put the blame for their misfortune and their predicament. They will try and now blame one another. Allah Ta'ala explains all those sins. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people of Jannat, how much of bounties and bliss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prepared for them. All this has been mentioned here. And from the third ruku onwards of the surah, Allah Ta'ala then makes mention till the end of the surah, the incidents of the many Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. And as mentioned previously, the kitab is not a book of history. The reason why the narratives of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam and their nations are mentioned over and over virtually in every para of the Quran Majeed, some in some incident has been mentioned. The reason is twofold. One is to give consolation to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you don't have to grieve so much that your people are not accepting your message, because the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam of the previous times, their nations also were like that. And the second lesson in this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wrath and punishment can afflict a nation at any time. Those who now refuse to accept the message of Haqq, they should be on the guard and they should ensure that remain in their state of rebellion and obstinacy, because Allah ta'ala's then punishment can afflict them. The last verse of the surah virtually summarizes the entire contents of the surah. Allah Ta'ala says, Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun. That glory be to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who is the owner of all honor from all those things for which the people ascribe falsely to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah is pure from all that. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. And peace be upon all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And all praise to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who is Rabbul Alameen, who has mentioned clearly what is Haqq and distinguished it from the batil. The next surah is Surah Sad, which is also a Makki surah. Here again, as mentioned, the fundamentals of deen has been mentioned, and together with that, the obstinacy and pride of the mushrikeen, because of which they refuse to accept the message of Haqq, has also been mentioned here, what type of pride and obstinacy they had. Here also, the Anbiya, many of the incidents of the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam have also been mentioned here, and the reasons are the same, which we have just discussed now, why Allah Ta'ala mentions all these incidents. Here also Allah Ta'ala mentions the condition of the believers, and also of the disbelievers, and the eventual abode in the year after of either Jannat and Jahannam, together with all the conditions which they will be faced with, are all mentioned here. The incident of the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is also explained in this surah. Further on, the last surah, Surah Zumar, also a Makki surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the greatness of the Quran Majeed, and then mentions, Inna anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil-haq, that, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have revealed this kitab to you in truth. Therefore, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keeping your servitude solely and exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this way is a great indication of ikhlas in all our actions of worship. And this quality of ikhlas, as explained by our mashayikh, is not something which we just get overnight and buy it over the counter and put it within ourselves. It is a quality which takes a lot of effort to acquire. Many a time we don't understand the intricacies and the details of what true ikhlas is. And many a time we are put into deception by nafs and shaitan, where we think we are doing things out of ikhlas, but in reality there's no ikhlas there. There is riya. Ikhlas is that quality through which on which depends the correctness and the acceptance of all our actions. The more the ikhlas, the level of ikhlas, the more it will be worthy of acceptance and weightier on the scales of deeds on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Ta'ala grant us this quality. Here Allah Ta'ala again mentions His great qudrats in His creation, how Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala created the animals and everything, and also human beings, how Allah Ta'ala created every human being when he was in the womb of his mother in three types of darkness. Allah Ta'ala says, in such conditions we created ashraful makhluqat, insan, where there is three layers of darkness. One is the darkness of the womb of the mother. One is the place where one is the stomach, then is the womb, and then is the placenta, in which the child is actually born. When these verses were revealed, there were no scientific advancements to see to the inside condition of a human being. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, and thus through medical advancement, etc., this has been verified. The more we progress in all these fields of science and technology, the more the truthfulness of the Quran and Majid and the deen of Islam can be understood. The further on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of in the last ruku, Allah ta'ala mentions, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. That person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had expanded his heart for Islam, he is on the light from his Rabb. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum inquired from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what is the sign through which we can understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, the light of Allah ta'ala has entered into the heart of a person, where we can say that now he's got sharh sadr, expansion of heart for Islam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave three indications that these are the signs to determine whether a person has got that light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the light of Islam in his heart. And the first one is that he now becomes disinclined from this temporary abode of this dunya. Number two, his inclination is towards now the hereafter. And number three, he is preparing for death before death arrives. So these are the signs and these are the qualities which we should try and instill within us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that those whose hearts are negligent and unmindful of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala says, woe unto such hearts. These hearts have become hard. These are the hearts which we regard to be hearts which are completely hard when they are negligent from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, in the last page, mentions that this Qur'an-i-Majid, we have sent this Qur'an-i-Majid in which we had explained all types of examples so that man in some way or the other understands the message of Haqq. Allah Ta'ala says this is a Qur'an-i-Majid in the Arabic language. There is no crookedness in this, and it is for people, and it has been revealed so that people get this quality of taqwa. And the last verses give an example of those, of the difference between a kafir, a muwahhid, a kafir, a person who is now ascribing partners to Allah Ta'ala, and a muwahhid, a mu'min, who believes in only in one Allah Ta'ala. Through an example, Allah Ta'ala explains this, that a slave is in the ownership of a few owners. In other words, a partnership, and who must he please? If he tries to please one, the others, now they become angry with him. And a person, he's got only one master. His master is only one. Definitely there is a difference between the two. Similar is the case between iman, a person who's got iman, who's a muwahid, and a person who's now in disbelief, and he's now ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala asks the question, هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا? Is the example of both the same? Are these two the same? Definitely not. And there is a vast difference between the two.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. An Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal, إذا حدثتكم بحديث أتيناكم بتصديق ذلك في كتاب الله إن العبد إذا قال سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر وتبارك الله قبض عليهن ملك فضمهن تحت جناحه وصعد بهن لا يمر بهن على جمع من الملائكة إن استغفروا لقائلهن حتى يحيى بهن وجه الرحمن ثم تلا عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه إليه يسأل الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه. حضرت عبداللہ بن مسعود رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ نے ایک مرتبہ فرمایا کہ جب بھی میں تمہیں کوئی حدیث بیان کروں گا تو اس کی تصدیق میں کتاب اللہ کو پیش کروں گا. پھر فرمایا بے شک بندہ جب کہتا ہے سبحان اللہ والحمد للہ ولا الہ الا اللہ واللہ اکبر وتبارک اللہ تو ایک فرشتہ اس کو تھام لیتا ہے اور اپنے بازو کے نیچے رکھ کر آسمان کی طرف چرنے لگتا ہے. تو جب بھی اس کا گزر ہوتا ہے ان کلمات کے ساتھ فرشتوں کی ایک کسی جماعت پر تو وہ ان کلمات کے کہنے والے کے لیے استغفار کرتے ہیں یہاں تک کہ یہ کلمات رحمان کے سامنے پیش کر دیے جاتے ہیں. پھر حضرت عبداللہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ نے اس آیت کی تلاوت فرمائی إليه يسأل الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه. حضرت عبداللہ بن مسعود رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ once said, whenever I narrate a hadith to you, I also provide a verse of the Quran Kareem to substantiate it. Verily, when one says, سبحان اللہ والحمد للہ ولا الہ الا اللہ واللہ اکبر وتبارک اللہ, an angel grabs hold of it, places it under his wing and ascends with it to the heavens. Whichever group of angels he passes by, seek forgiveness for the reciter, until finally the dhikr is presented before Allah Jalla Jalalu. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu thereafter recited the following verse, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَرُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ, pure words rise up to Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu once said, whenever I narrate a hadith to you, I also provide a verse of the Qur'an Kareem to substantiate it. Verily, when one says, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa tabarakallah, an angel grabs hold of it, places it under his wing and ascends with it to the heavens. Whichever group of angels he passes by, seek forgiveness for the reciter, until finally the dhikr is presented before Allah Jalla Jalalu. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu thereafter recited the following verse, إِلَيْهِ يَسْعَرُ الْكَلِبُ الطَّيِّبُ, pure words rise up to Allah Ta'ala.